5 million slides that we have to go through on a Sunday morning. So please bring your Bible or your, I know nowadays the younger generation is their iPhone. You know, they look at their Bible app, and that's cool too. I'm all for that. In fact, you can post and tweet during church, even just make sure it's about the sermon, okay? And it's good. It's a good tweet, not something bad. Pastor Mark sucks this morning. Don't say that, okay? And I hope this, I hope you've been learning a lot through this series. We've been talking about being led by the Spirit. And in fact, if you do have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John chapter 16 and Acts chapter 10. I just feel like it's good for you. I'm still old fashioned. I like the good old black book and carrying that. And I love the Bible, and I have Bible apps too on my phone, and I use those too when I don't have my Bible with me. But just bring your Bible to church if you have one, or definitely bring your smartphone. But I want you to turn to these scriptures with us today, and we're going to look at different things in the Word today. And this is really, I want to preface this message with this. We're going to talk about the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. And here's what you've got to do. You have to put yourself in a position to hear the voice of God. Amen. And by that position, I mean you need to be a person of prayer. You need to be a person that's in the Word of God. And when you need to be a person, and Mark said it this morning when he did the introduction this morning, the welcome this morning, was he said the word surrender. And if you have those three in worship and praise and all that, but you have to put yourself in a position to hear the Word of God. Amen. God just don't show up to anybody and speak. Amen. You have to be putting yourself in that position. And I feel like I need to say that this morning because I know some of you are praying for direction and different things. And I promise you, if you'll put yourself in a position to hear the voice of God, He will speak to you. Amen. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's a promise that we have in that Harvest Time Club scripture that went out this morning. If you don't know how to be that, you can subscribe to that by texting the word harvest to 68683 and then reply with a Y and you'll be signed up for that. But the scripture this morning was John 10:27, where he says, "My sheep know me and they hear my voice." That's a promise that we have as believers. Everybody in here can hear the voice of God. It's not just Pastor Mark, everybody in here. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're a believer, you can hear the voice of God. Look at somebody and say, you can hear the voice of God. So what we've been looking at the three ways that God leads his children. Number one was the inward witness, the primary way that God leads his children. Number two was the inward voice. We looked at this last week, or the still small voice, which is your conscience. And then today we're going to talk about the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. And our theme scripture today is going to be John 16:13. And this is where Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. He's telling his disciples, he's telling us, guys, I know you want to keep me with you, but it's expedient that I go away, because when I go away, I'm going to go to my Father in heaven, and we're going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you and help you on planet Earth. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit today? And John 16, verse 13 says, "However, when he, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth." He's not going to guide you into lies and lead you astray. He's going to guide you into all truth. Everybody say truth. And the truth is what sets you free. "For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak." And he's listening to the Father and to the Son, and he's speaking that to you. "And he will tell you things to come." God will tell you things to come as you walk with him. If you're in that position, surrendered, worshiping, praying, praising him, in the Word, you're going to hear the voice of God. If you're not in the Word of God, I just want to encourage you. Betty always reminds me to mention this, but we give out devotionals here, and we don't just do this just to buy 250 devotionals for no reason. We give these out so you'll get into the Word of God. And it's just a little paragraph a day with several scriptures in it that gets you plugged in. And that's how you start hearing the voice of God. So get you one of those today, because we just got the new ones in for September, October, and November. But as I was studying this week about this message, we're going to go into the book of Acts, and this is Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 20 that we're going to look at. And I know you know me, we look at a lot of scripture because I believe, you know where God speaks at? He speaks through the Word. The Holy Spirit speaks through his Word. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 20, and I'm going to show you how this relates to us today. It says, the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray. So here he is, he's praying. He's putting himself in a position to hear the voice of God. About the sixth hour was noon. It says, then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, just like you are here in about 45 minutes, okay? And I know that, so I won't be preaching long today. I always try to get you out of here at noon because once, you know, the noon hits, you check out. I know that. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Everybody say trance. Yes, that's a biblical word. We're going to talk about that here a little bit later. And saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I want you to remember that Peter is a Jewish man. Verse 13 says, and a voice came to him saying this, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. He says, I'm a kosher guy, Lord. I'm a Jewish man. Verse 15 says, and a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. All right. I'm not doing my job, am I? Not keeping up with you. I'm sorry. Verse 16, we'll catch you back up. Verse 16 says, this was done three times because Peter was hard-headed. Anybody out there hard-headed? Takes God three times to get it across to you. Three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, why Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant. Everybody say vision. Behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius' house had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter, he's up there, he's puzzled. He's been in a trance. All he was doing was going up to pray at noontime, and before lunch, he was just going to have a time of prayer. And all of a sudden, a trance came upon him, and he saw this vision, and God was speaking to him. So he's still up here on the rooftop, and it says, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit, everybody say Spirit, said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now, I want to tell you something. We have been in this series for 3 weeks now. We're going to end this series next week, and I'm going to tell you how we're going to end this series next week. Is there's a teaching that Pastor Robert did, a good friend of mine. How many of you like Pastor Robert? We saw a video of him here a few weeks ago. I'm going to bring a video teaching from Pastor Robert next Sunday, because I can't preach this any better than he can or teach this any better than he can. But it's from his book called Frequency, and I encourage you to get that book if you don't have that book called Frequency, if you're a book reader. It's called Frequency by Pastor Robert. It's called Tune In and Hear God. And it's a great book. It's a great read. And in that book, he teaches you how to hear the voice of God. And it's going to be a very practical message, but there's also a video at the end of his message. So it's actually going to be, we're going to watch a video inside of a video next week, and it's going to be really good. It's really going to help you. It's a real practical teaching, and I can't wait to do that. But whenever I was looking into the voice of the Holy Spirit, and I just, you know, number one, you got to put yourself in a position to hear the voice of God. You've got to pray. You've got to read the Word of God. We talked about the number one way that God leads us is through the inward witness, right? Everybody remember that? Like that hunch, that gut feeling, that's how God leads you. But there's going to be times when you're going to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit if you put yourself in a position to hear Him. And when you hear Him, it's almost going to sound audible. You might even look around. It's like, somebody say something to me. But you're going to hear it on the inside of you. It's not audible. It's just, you're going to hear this. And here's what I want to tell you, and I want you to make this note, okay? When you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, it's to hold you steady and faithful to what is to come. I'm going to say that again. When you hear the voice of the Spirit, it's to hold you steady and faithful to what is to come. When Peter was up on his rooftop and he saw this vision and fell in a trance, and then he heard the Spirit say to him, behold, three men are seeking you. The Holy Spirit told him, I want you to remember this, Peter, because I want you to go down there. I want you to meet these three guys, and I want you to go with them, doubting nothing, for I sent them. Okay? So that's a big thing. The reason why I wanted to, and there's lots of stories in the book of Acts, and I tell you, read the book of Acts, it'll blow you away. And that's the New Testament church, and this is the way we're supposed to be living today. We have taken out all the supernatural things that God does and manifestations and how he guides us and leads us. We've just thought, well, that's just for the early church. That's just for the apostles. No, it's for us too. You can hear the voice of God today. That's why Jesus is at the right hand of his Father making intercession for us. He wants us to tune in to the Holy Spirit. The reason why I wanted to read this scripture in Acts 10, verses 9 through 20 is because of this, and I want to tell you this because you may have not connected the dots. You are saved today. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are saved today because Peter obeyed the vision he had on his rooftop. He obeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit. He was a Jewish man, and God told him to go to Cornelius' house. Cornelius was a Gentile like us. And Peter was like, I don't think we're supposed to take this good news to other people. It's just for us Jewish people. And God caused this sheet to fall down from heaven and showed him these things on this sheet. And it spoke to his heart. God was saying, don't call them unclean because I'm sending you to them. Everybody got that? Look at somebody and say, I'm a Gentile. Now say this, thank God Peter obeyed, or we wouldn't be sitting here today. That's powerful. And so, but there's some things I want to teach you as we go along in this, and there's a lot of ways that I could go today, and I just felt led of the Holy Spirit, to go this way. And I want to give you a word of caution to not seek voices. Everybody said amen. Okay. Number one way God leads us is through the inner witness. You've got to put yourself, you've got to be in prayer, you've got to read the Word of God. That's numero uno. There are going to be times in your walk with God, if you're in that position, that he's going to break through with some of these things that I'm going to be talking to you today about. But we're not to seek them. We're not to seek to talk to angels. We're not to seek to, you know, we're not even to seek to hear the audible voice of God. We're not to seek that, because you know who else will show up? The God of this world. And he'll have you hear things that are not from God. Word of caution, do not seek voices. And this is 1 John 4, verses 1 through 3. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And everybody said, and here's the reason why. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. We are not to seek voices. We should not follow voices. We should follow the Word of God. That's what we've got to do. And when I was studying this, I heard about a pastor who was at his church, and he talked about a lady who had went to an evangelistic meeting. And the evangelist was up there, and he was talking about how God had spoke to him audibly one time. I don't doubt that, okay, because it is in the Word of God, but we're not to seek that. And this evangelist didn't mean this in no way. He just spoke this in his message. But there was a lady attending in this service, and she was like, I want to hear the audible voice of God. So she began to pray. I want to hear the audible voice of God. But she wasn't in the Word. She wasn't in prayer. She wasn't putting herself in a position. She just wanted to hear an audible voice. Guess what? The God of this world showed up, and she started hearing voices. And she was a perfectly sane woman. But these voices caused her to go insane, and she had to go into an insane asylum. And after she got out, her husband took her to a couple more evangelists to lay hands on her, to pray for her, that she'd stop hearing these voices. And both evangelists didn't work. And the husband got mad at the evangelist. It's not their fault, by the way. And finally, they came to this pastor, and his name is Kenneth E. Hagin, who's went on to be with the Lord. And they were in a prayer line, and she came up, and it was her husband causing her to go up there and said, Pastor Kenneth, I want you to pray for my wife because she's hearing voices. And Pastor Kenneth said, I reached out to put my hand on her to pray for her, and the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, don't pray for her right now. And he told the pastor, because he was there, he was actually there evangelizing. He was actually holding some meetings at another pastor's church. And he told the pastor, he said, I want to meet with this couple in your office after the service, because it's something the Holy Spirit showed him. The Holy Spirit gave him a word of knowledge 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that was a gift that the Holy Spirit gave Pastor Kenneth during that moment. After the service was over with, after he'd prayed for people, went in the pastor's office, and he told the woman, he said, "You were in Oregon." I mean, he knew where she was at, word of knowledge from God. "You were in Oregon at an evangelistic meeting, and the evangelist said that he heard the voice of God, heard the audible voice of God, and you thought that was cool." And I'm paraphrasing all this, by the way. "And you wanted to hear the audible voice of God, and it opened yourself up to hear other voices." And he said, "The reason why I wanted your husband in here is because you've been to two other evangelists, and they couldn't set you free and when you prayed. And the reason why is because you want to hear those voices." And she and he said, "And you're not too far gone mentally to understand what I'm telling you." And she said, "You know what, Pastor Kenneth, you're right. I want to hear those voices." And he looked at his husband. He said, looked at her husband. He said, "That's why I brought you into this room, is because the Holy Spirit showed me that." I said, "Pastor never told me anything about this, but the Holy Spirit showed me that when you brought her up to me for prayer." And he goes, "I'm telling you this because it's got to be her decision to be set free." And everybody said, "Amen." All right, everybody, you're looking at me like, I'm not trying to scare you, okay? But we're not to pray to hear the audible voice of God. We need to pray and be in the Word of God to hear the voice of God. Amen. All right. I'm going to tell you a little something. Some of you have heard this story before. Some of you haven't. But I can tell you, because we're going to talk a little bit today about visions and different ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. It's all in the Word and in the book of Acts. Read the book of Acts. I cannot say that enough. But when this church was birthed in my heart, I had been to Assembly of God Church in Radon, Oklahoma, which is a real small town out here in western Oklahoma. And I'd been there, and I'd shared at a men's prayer breakfast that morning on a Saturday morning. There's about three or four guys in attendance, older men. And I can remember they just sat there and stared at the table. And I was sharing my heart with them. And I'm like, "Man, this is golly. You know, am I getting through these guys?" I was like, "I have wasted my time this morning. I should have slept in on a Saturday." That's where I was at. I was like, "God, why did you have me come out here to Radon, Oklahoma, of all places? And I got four guys here. They're barely awake. And they're old. And I don't know if they're hearing anything." You know, and that's where I was at, and I remember the message and everything. I talked about Gideon being the hesitant hero, and then after we got done with our little prayer breakfast and me teaching them and everything, I got to talk to the pastor, and I heard his heart, and he has since went home to be with the Lord, and we were just talking about the church at large, the Big C, and what God was doing and all those things. And so then I got in my little sky blue Ford Tempo 1993 model, and I headed home, and I'm driving home, and I'm praying. I'm like listening to worship music, and I'm like, "God, what was that for?" You know, I don't feel like I was at any success at all at there, you know, and didn't feel like I made an impartation at all, you know, and I just was really struggling. And I was driving home, and I was praying about that, what I just spoke about and different things, and just worshiping God. And then all of a sudden, guys, I had what I call, and I've only had two of them in my lifetime, but I had a spiritual vision. And at that moment, I'm driving. I've got my senses, my physical senses and everything. I'm still driving. But I saw a church, and I saw a church growing at a phenomenal rate of speed, but it was decreasing at the same amount. And God spoke into my heart, said, "Mark, give and it shall be given." I didn't hear it audibly, but it was in here. It was almost like he was sitting right next to me in my sky blue Ford Tempo. And then that was it. And I felt but the Holy Spirit and the inward witness and everything was kicking into gear. And this spiritual vision, God said, "I've called you to plant a church." And so at that time, this was in 1996, and you know what Mark's finite thinking thought? It's tomorrow. Praise God, we're going to start a church tomorrow. And Jada's over here going, "Oh gosh, no." I can remember I came home, and I told Jada, and I'm just telling her just like I'm telling you right now. She was in the kitchen at her house in Elk City. She began to weep. I was like, "Honey," and I mean, not a weep like, "Oh my God," you know. It was a weep like it was God speaking to her too. And I was like, "Man, what is God doing here?" And then I was doubting, just like Peter did. I was doubting what had happened. I'm like, "God, is this for real? You're calling me? I hadn't been to seminary. I hadn't done any of that stuff." And God, in His mercy and His grace, sent two people by my house. They just showed up at my doorstep at two different times, about several days apart, knocked on my door, and they looked at me and said, "You're supposed to, the Holy Spirit," that's what they told me, "the Holy Spirit sent me here for you to tell me what God spoke to your heart." And so when I spoke it to them, it was God telling me, "I want you to believe what I showed you," just like Peter on the rooftop. And I was like, "Okay, God, I'm hearing you. You definitely want me to do this." I've had those two confirmations from two different people that came by our house. And at that time, I thought it was going to be in Elk City, so we tried to plant the church in Elk City. Didn't work. We was up against a brick wall. Then in 1998, I met Mark Ward 2 years later at a Promise Keepers event. We went to high school here together. We got reconnected. He started going back to church at First Christian Church in Camargo, and he said, "Hey, without a pastor, can you come up here and fill in every other Sunday?" So I'm driving from Elk City to Camargo, driving through Leedy, which is my hometown where I grew up at and went to school at, driving through here, going to Camargo to fill in every other Sunday. And at that time, I thought, it's Camargo. We're going to plant this church in Camargo. And kept coming up against a brick wall there. And finally, I decided to fast, finally, and set myself away to hear from God. And God said, "Mark, I've been taking you by it for 2 years. It's your hometown." And I was like, wow. So 4 years later, we planted the church here in Leedy. And everybody said, amen. And I'm telling you, but here's the deal, guys. When I said, when you hear the voice of the Spirit, it's to hold you steady and faithful to what is to come. It's been 17 years, and you don't know, I cannot tell you how many times I have been back to my sky blue Ford Tempo to remember what God told me to do, because it hasn't always been tiptoe through the roses here and always peachy king and everything going perfect and all that kind of stuff. And thank God, God spoke that to me to hold me faithful and steady during the storms. That's why He speaks to you by His Holy Spirit. And everybody said amen. Okay, is everybody getting something this morning? All right, here's some other things how God leads. And I'm not going to be able to cover every one of them. There's another one that I want to tell you real quick that's not in my notes. But God does speak to us, the voice of the Holy Spirit, in our dreams. And so it's all through the Word of God. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. You're going to know it's from God because you'll wake up and go, "That was from God." You're not going to have to doubt it. You're not going to have to wake up and go, "I wonder if that was from God or that was the pizza I ate." You're not going to have that, okay? You're gonna wake up knowing that God spoke to you. You're going to know that. And God speaks to us in our dreams. It's all through the Word of God. There's another one of the ways that God leads is through the guidance through prophecy. And I love this. And this is in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 and 3. It says, "Pursue love." Everybody say, "Pursue love." Pursue love. Man, you got to make love number one. You got to minister in love. When you're speaking prophecy, it ought to be done in love. Everything is done in love. And it says, "And desire spiritual gifts." You need to desire spiritual gifts. If you don't know what spiritual gifts are, read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about the spiritual gifts, but they all must be done in love. They're all operate in love. "But especially that you may prophesy." Everybody say, "Prophesy." And this is why the Apostle Paul, through the unction of the Holy Spirit, why he said, you need number one, be in love. Number two, you need to desire spiritual gifts that God will use you that way. But you also need to be especially that you may prophesy. And here's the reason why God wants you to prophesy. Because he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men or to mankind. That's prophecy. Prophecy is edification and exhortation. Another good word, another E word for that is encouragement and comfort. Now, can I get on my soapbox for a little bit? Will you listen to Pastor Mark? Just hear me out, okay? We know that we've just had a hurricane hit. And there was talk of another hurricane that might be forming to hit Florida. I pray to God that don't happen. But I also read something this week. And I'm not going to cite the source or anything like that because they're all over the internet and stuff. But I heard somebody say that this was the judgment of God upon America. Okay, now let Pastor Mark teach you something, okay? I also heard back when Hurricane Katrina hit in Louisiana, New Orleans, that I actually heard a spirit-filled Christian say this. I'm talking somebody that was saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit. and they said that God just flushed the toilet. Okay. Now, everybody got your minds still intact this morning? Okay, let's reason for just a second with the Word of God. If that is true, and if it is the judgment of God, then we shouldn't be sending relief efforts down there. Because that's actually working against God. Everybody got that? I hope your mind's going tilt and saying, no, that's not of God. But because I want to teach you, we're going to look at two passages of scriptures that I didn't put up here so that you can write them down and look them up later. And I want to say this. Well, let's just look at the scriptures. I want to show you what Jesus said. Does everybody realize that Jesus was God in the flesh? So if you want to know who God is, you look at Jesus. If you want to know God's heart, you look at Jesus. Everybody got that? Okay. In Luke chapter 9, I'm going to read verses 51 through 56. And the reason why I'm doing this, guys, is because, yes, this is a current event. This is actually happening right now. We all know that. We're sending relief effort ourselves. But I want to teach you how to hear the voice of God and what the voice of God is. The voice of God is love. That's the voice of God. And in verse 51, but this spirit still is relevant today. It's a religious spirit. It's mean. It's ugly. It's nasty. And it's in verse 51, Luke chapter 9. And it says, I'll get there. In 51, it says, now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. Let me tell you something. When you're following God, this is just a little sidebar note here. Not everybody is going to receive you. Amen. Okay? Not everybody's going to receive you. Verse 54 says, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? Oh, you got it. And you know what Jesus called them? He called them the sons of thunder. That was his nickname for these guys. Verse 55 says, everybody want to hear the heart of God? But he turned and rebuked them, and he said, you do not know what manner of spirit you're of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them, and they went to another village. That's the heart of God. And everybody said amen. He didn't come to destroy people. All right, now turn to Luke chapter 13. I'm going to show you something else. Then we'll make some more stuff about this, more comments. Luke 13, verses 1 through 5. It says, there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? In verse 3, he says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or, and then he brings up a current event like I'm doing this morning, Jesus did in his day, a current event, says, or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? He was saying, do you think it was because they were sinners but that the tower fell on them? That was the judgment of my father. In verse 5, he says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We all got to know Jesus. We all got to know the Lord. Guys, you've got to look through every... Here's what happened at the cross. The cross, all judgment, all wrath was poured out upon Jesus. Okay? God's not mad at you this morning. God loves you. And he wants you to accept his son. The people that spew this stuff out, I'm going to tell you what it is. It is satanic propaganda for people to get mad at God. It's actually the enemy, and the enemy is actually using some good Christian people, even people on TV, to spew this stuff so it gets the body of Christ confused and mad at God. Yep. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. Everybody ready to go to heaven? Amen. All right, we still live in a fallen world. The cross happened, and, you know, the death, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, is our last enemy that we're all going to face, but we do live in a fallen world. And God did not set it up this way. Death, listen to this, death, hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, tornadoes, the list goes on and on and on. And I know that our insurance policies today, they say that's an act of God. Well, it is an act of God, the God of this world, which is Satan. But it's not the act of our Father God. Amen. And in fact, if you want to get right down to it, death, hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, and tornadoes are an act of man. And I love this. I heard this, I don't love it, because this is not the way God set it up, but it's a way to help you to talk to somebody about the love of God. There was a story, a pastor I met this week, and he said he was at a meeting, and they were talking about the hurricane and everything in this meeting. It wasn't even a church meeting, it was out in the world. He's a bivocational guy. And he said, I was sitting there and they were talking about insurance policies, and this guy was up there teaching about insurance policies, and he kept bringing about that this is an act of God. And he said, finally got to wearing on me. And I was like, I raised my hand and I did it in love and grace. I wasn't being, and I just said, sir, I just want to tell you for the sake of everybody here that when you read the book of Genesis, this was not an act of God, it was an act of man. The reason why we have hurricanes in the earth today is because man fell in the garden. God never wanted there to be hurricanes taking people's lives and taking everything that they own. That's not God. That is not God. God is a God of love. Look at somebody and say, God is a God of love. And I'm telling you guys, I've had to fight this spirit myself. Because sometimes I get that righteous feeling like I'm all righteous. And man, if they keep doing what they're doing, the judgment of God's going to fall on them. No, it's not. The judgment already happened then. Life is hard for them because when life comes hard, it's awesome how the enemy uses, or how God uses what the enemy's doing to us to turn it all for the good. Because when life's hard, we come back to God. Amen. don't you love God? God is a gracious God. He's a gracious God. So you don't, when you're, and the Bible tells us, and here, I could go on and on and on about this because I want you to hear God's voice in this today, is when I read my New Testament, the only thing it tells me to do, it tells me not to judge others. It tells me to judge myself to see whether I'm in the faith or whether I'm in the love of God. And everybody said, amen. All right. Guidance through visions. Here's where we're going to end with this, but I've got a few more scriptures that I want to share with you. The guidance through visions, we read that in Acts chapter 10. There's three kinds of visions that the book of Acts talks about and the scripture talks about. Is spiritual visions, trances, and open visions are the three. Spiritual visions are you see with the eyes of your spirit, not with your physical eyes. That's what happened to me when I was in my 1993 sky blue Ford Tempo. Trances, your physical senses are suspended like Peter was in Acts chapter 10, what we read. And open visions, your eyes are wide open and your physical senses are intact, and that happened to Peter as well. Those are the three kinds of visions that are in the Bible. And I want to show you, and you might, because every time when I'm teaching this, is people say, well, that was just for the apostles. No, it's for us too. In Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 12, it says, now there was a certain disciple. He wasn't even an apostle. He was just a disciple. He wasn't even a deacon. He was just a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Now, here I want to tell you something about Ananias. When he got this vision from God, he was already going tilt in his mind because he was like, Saul of Tarsus? I've heard how he kills Christians. God, are you sending me to heaven early? You're telling me to go, you know, pray for this guy and lay hands on him, get that close to him? Why can't I just pray from here? You know, and he's telling Ananias, no, I want you to go there. And tells him where to go, the street, the everything, choir of the house of Judas, where he's at. And he said he's there praying. And God showed him in a vision. He also showed Paul in a vision, or Saul at that time, that here comes Ananias to lay hands on you and you're going to receive your sight. Isn't God good? But what I want to show you, it's not just for the apostles or not just for people that are in the fivefold ministry. It's for every one of us. We don't go seeking it because we're just to hear God through prayer and through his word. But there are going to be times in your life, in your walk with God, that God's going to break in and do those things. Like I said, I've been walking with God since 1993, and I've only had it happen twice. The second time that I had it happen was actually during a time when I was fasting, and it was just for a service. That was it. I saw a spiritual vision where during the service, and this was at Camargo, when I was serving at Camargo, and I was praying about the service that morning on a Sunday morning. Spiritual vision happened, and God said, Mark, Leola Ralston, who's went home to be with the Lord, is going to be in church this morning. And she was very faithful in coming to church. and just a great woman of God and a great servant, and said she sits always sits right over here like where Donnie and them guys were sitting at, Donnie and Heather and the family over here. And he showed me that she's going to break down and start crying while you're preaching. And I just want you to know it's not because of your preaching. And he says, because I'm moving upon her to let her know how much I love her. And I was like, wow, okay. And even then, I was like, Peter, I was doubting. I was like, did I just really, man, I need to eat. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, I'm fasting. I need to eat. I'm starting to see things that are going to happen in the service, you know. And I didn't share it with anybody. I didn't share it with Jada at that time. And because I was still doubting it, even going to church. And we go to church, and they have a structured service where da-da-da-da-da. And I get up there, and I'm doing my teaching. And I'm just teaching just like I am with you guys right now. And she just begins to weep uncontrollably. And God's saying, I told you. I told you. And he said, now, I don't want you to stop and make a big scene about this because this is between me and her, but I just want you to tell her that I'm loving on her. And so I just said, Leola, I just want you to know what you're feeling right now is the love of God, and he wants you to know that he wants you to know he loves you. And then I just went back right into teaching, and she sat over there crying, and I was trying to get everybody else's attention because they were all looking at Leola like, what in the world's going on here? And it was just awesome. But God showed that to me in a spiritual vision. And God will do the same for you in your life, in your family, with your friends, in your business, in your career. If you'll put God first place, he will lead and guide and direct you. But he's going to lead you by that inward witness. And if God needs to break through with a vision or something like that, there's a reason for it, and you need to obey it. Amen. And everybody said amen. All right. I want to show you something else through the Word of God when we're going to go home today. Is everybody learning something? Amen. Okay, Acts chapter 8. This is a fun fact for you. If you don't know me, I'm a Kevin James fan, and that came from, was that Mall Cop that he'd said that in? Fun fact for you? Or Zookeeper, I can't remember. I'm a Kevin James fan. Everybody says I look like Kevin James, act like Kevin James. I could be his body double. That's what I want to do one day. That's my goal. I need to reach out to him. If anybody knows Kevin James, let me know. But this, I decided at the end of my message, I'll just say, fun fact for you. The Lord has his own airline service. And I want to show you this in Acts chapter 8, because some of you are looking at me like, what? This is in the Word, but I want to read the whole story to you. I like reading the Word to you. Acts 8, verse 26 says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. So here we have angels even can still speak to us. Now, we're not to seek angels, but they can break through when God, they're messengers from God. Spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go to the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. And I'm sure Philip was saying, thank you, Lord, you're sending me to the desert. Verse 27, so he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit, here he is being led by the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Spirit, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And Philip must have been in good shape because he's keeping up with the chariot. And said, do you understand? And he's even able to talk while he's running. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his injustice was taken away. His justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Everybody say, he preached Jesus. Love that. Verse 36 says, now as they went down and rode, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, so here's water. See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Boom, he's saved right there when he said that. Verse 38 says, so he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. Now, I want you to watch this in verse 39. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. Airplane. Everybody say airplane. He Gandhi. So that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Amen. All I know is that would be cool. And so there's going to be a day maybe when God says, that may happen. I'll be up here preaching and teaching or baptizing somebody, and boom, just know I'm preaching somewhere else. God needed me somewhere else, all right? That's supposed to be funny, guys. All right. But I just wanted to show you that in this scripture, that God is the one that's in control, and he can do anything and everything. And all of this is, but I want you to see the reason why he does these things is because he loves people and he wants people to hear the gospel. Amen. And the gospel is not delivered. If you'll notice, every time that an angel showed up and showed you some angel stuff, they don't preach the gospel. God called men and women, us, to go preach the gospel. Amen. And so you have, and you may say, well, I'm not a preacher. I don't stand in the pulpit. You don't have to. It's on your workplace, wherever you're at. Wherever you're at, wherever your circle of influence is at, that's your pulpit. That's where you're to witness and share the gospel. And everybody said, amen. Okay, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I pray that this helped you see some things in the Word of God maybe you've never seen before, help you to understand that God does speak through dreams. He speaks to us through prophecy. He speaks to us through visions. But the number one way that he speaks is through his word, just like where we saw that the guy that was in the chariot, he was reading the word of God and God was speaking to him. And then God brought along Philip to help him understand it, because it takes all of us working together to spread the gospel. And if you're here today, and I'm going to lead you in something that Philip told the guy in the chariot, he said, you know, you just got to believe on Jesus, that he is the Son of God. And the Bible says in Romans 10 that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer. And even if you have prayed this before and you know Jesus, I want you to pray this along with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. I'm going to have Mark come up here and he's going to close us out. But I want to encourage you. Don't forget, as you're leaving today, about the hurricane relief fund. You can give it in that basket back there at the back and just put hurricane relief on your memo, or you can use one of those envelopes if you're giving cash. Be sure and put your name and address on there, and so we can get that recorded for you. And appreciate you all being here today. It's good to see everybody. I hope you did. Everybody learn something through this series? Okay, it's not over. It's not over, because next week we're going to have a really good practical message from Pastor Robert Morris, where he's going to teach us how to, and the title of his message is Value His Voice, how we can learn how to value his voice, and very practical things that we can all do on a daily basis. And so that'll be next Sunday. So Mark, come on up here, and I'm going to have him dismiss us this morning.
Amen. Is that a good word? Let's give the Lord a hand clap right quick. That was great. God really downloaded to me right there. Did he to you guys? You hear the Spirit of God there. And when we get in here, something God spoke to me right quick. When we leave, we should be in a relationship listening for God during our work week, our relationships around us. Who are we listening to? What are we listening to? I'm guilty. What do we apply our lives around that is guiding us out of the blessing of God and the direction of God? Amen? Are we all guilty today? I am, of that happening. So that really what spoke to me. I love when Pastor Mark, we've been speaking about the Holy Spirit, because I felt like reinforcing from a testimony of just a man that was a total mess when Pastor Mark, when we were going to Camargo, and he brought that up, just a total mess, you know, in my life. But you know what? At one point in time, I made a commitment that I'm going to listen to God. I said at one point in time, I said, I'm tired of giving that victory away. You see, we have a great victory today, and at some point I had to say, I'm not giving my victory back. Amen. I'm not giving it back. I'm done with giving it back. I give it back time. You know what? I do mess up, though, at times, but it never takes my victory. It never will take. It cannot take it, no matter what. And one thing, testimony-wise for you, this is a word for somebody here. I finally, one day, I used to say I would pray with my wife, you know, every day. I thought about doing that. I thought it was good. I said, you know what? No matter what, I'm going to today, and I'm going to really do it. And I hear this all the time. People get in tragedy and say, well, we'll pray for you. Do you really? Do we really? I mean, let's get honest with ourselves and let's talk about the truth. We really do. You know, I want to be in relationship with people in our church, and we really do. So Pastor Mark was talking about prayer and worship, getting in the Word of God, and that's how God will speak to us. Amen. I'm just testifying to you that I started praying to my wife every day. Every day I pray, proclaim. He was talking about proclamation, victory over my children. They are set, and they are bought back by the blood of the Lamb. I pray victory over my life and family. Even though they're not going to be perfect, they're going to struggle at times, they've got the victory, and they're not giving it up either. Amen? The enemy can't have anything that we don't allow, and we should be proclaiming great things. So I really felt that in my heart. We pray. We get in the Word, and it's not always fun. I'm going to tell you this right quick, and I'm going to let you go. But I've prayed when I'm upset. And I pray in the morning when it's not perfect. And I finally look at Carrie and say, we're going to pray. Come over here. Okay? My feelings and my relationship with God, we got to get rid of it. That's how I feel is not how God feels about me. Okay. So Carrie, I pray when we're upset and when it's not going good. But I know that I'm not giving my victory back. I think that's the Word. What a powerful series and message. Let's give Pastor Mark a hand because he does a great job of preparing us. And we need to remember that. You need to be praying for him and praying for Jada and all that they do. And anyway, okay, I'm done. I just had that in my heart really, really strong today that someone needed to hear that. Don't say negative things. It's not what God wants from you. We're all running around doing it. We live in a negative world. Proclaim victory and life over your family and your children, okay? I'm going to read the priestly blessing that we read. It's in Numbers. You guys, always believe this from God, okay? It's in Numbers chapter 6, 24 through 28, and we pray it. We speak it over you every day. Everybody stand up with me as we pray here, and I'm going to speak this over you. It's a great, great word. And receive what I'm going to pray over you right now or speak over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you His peace. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we just love you, Lord. I thank you for this word. We bind and seal what we've learned today in the name of Jesus. As we go forth, we proclaim victory over our lives and our family. And God, till we meet again, keep us safe and that every day we have an opportunity to grow, to get closer to you. And I pray that we would accept the fact that we're not giving our victory back and we're going to seek you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. What a great day.